Welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, that makes total sense. Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and welcome to That Makes Total Sense. I am calling this episode today, Budgeting Beyond Quarantine. And I know the season has been so crazy. We didn't anticipate it. I don't think I'm alone when I'm recognizing that there are some days that feel like New Year's Day, and there are other days that feel like Groundhog's Day. Okay, so let me explain what I mean. Some days are New Year's Day, some days are Groundhog's Day. So on the New Year's Day days, I'm amazing. Okay, I'm like Marie Kondoing the closets. I'm making sure every crumb that is there that I see is wiped up or swept up. I'm micromanaging the budget. I'm folding the towels and stacking them, you know, hotel style, just perfectly. I'm putting my books in ABC order. It's amazing. It's New Year's Day. It's like, it feels like a fresh start. Or at least if it's not a fresh start, like I'm maintaining with passion, right? We have four kids. So my husband, Seth, he notices what I'm doing on those New Year's Day days. And he calls me out and he's like, okay, look, you're nesting. I'm like, okay, maybe I am. Maybe that's kind of what it feels like. But those are kind of the one kind of days. And then it's like, there's no notice, nothing. The next day I could feel like it's Groundhog's Day. That's my other extreme, right? My motivation is slipping. I'm like, okay, here's the thing. Tomorrow is going to be just more of the same. It's just going to look the same as today. So why does it even matter? I'm just going to go lay down for a little while. I mean, all of my books, I'm like, they don't need to be reshelved and alphabetized. Why? Because I'm just going to lay here and read them all. Who cares? Like, I'm going to do nothing. Order, I don't care. Homework, whatever. I'm pretty sure Chick-fil-A is calling my name though. Like I can hear it. So if I am going to get out, like it's, I'm not cooking, you know, it's crazy. It's just like, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow I get a redo. So whatever. It's like Groundhog's Day. Anyway, so this is the way it has been at my house. This is the way it's been with me. It's kind of a flip-flop. But the truth is that when I really sit down and think about it, I know that even though this time looks strange, I still have the responsibility to adult, right? Like this adulting thing hasn't really stopped. It just looks different. And so I need to kind of own it, probably live somewhere in the middle between New Year's Day and Groundhog's Day, and just keep up with those responsibilities. And one of those is the dreaded B word, the budget. I know you probably don't in a lot of ways feel like you want another thing on your plate right now, but I want to encourage you that right now is actually a really great time to look at your budget again. Or if you've never built one, to build a budget. In fact, if you're in a situation where, I'm so sorry if this is what you're going through, if you're in a situation where you've been furloughed or laid off, or maybe you're a business owner who's particularly struggling because of all the stay-at-home orders and things like that that are affecting your business and your income, now may actually really be a really good time to do it. It may actually feel a little bit more urgent. But even if that's not it, and I'm not saying this because you need to get like all New Year's Day about it, but it really can be a good time to look at your budget again and reevaluate it. Let me tell you why I started thinking about that. One of the things that I tell my clients, all of them across the board, and when I just talk to my friends about money, because this is conversations we're having. We're adults and we're having these dreaded conversations. Sometimes they feel dreaded about budgeting and parenting and marriage and where are our struggles. And so even when I just talk to my friends, about money and about budgeting, I always talk about values. And we're going to get to this and how it relates to budgeting in just a minute. But I feel like right now during this quarantine time, it's probably had us all reflecting on what our values really are. It's causing us to think about what's important to us. So in this time when we're slowing down, in this time when there is crisis, definitely for some of us, I encourage you to take this opportunity to think about your values. What's really, really important to you? Maybe it's travel. Even though we can't go anywhere, this might be like the thing that you're thinking about all the time is, I can't wait until I can take my next trip, or I had to cancel that one trip that I was doing. Maybe for you, one of those top three values is saving for your future. Like you're kind of watching the stock market, you're a little bit freaked out. Maybe it's education for you or your kids, or maybe it's paying off debt. You know, one of the things we've noticed in our neighborhood is that it's like so many people are doing outdoor work right now. One of my neighbors is even having the inside of his house repainted in preparation for a move. So maybe it's like you want to have a nice house or a nice yard. Maybe it's generosity and giving. And that's one of the things that has been stirring in your spirit during this time is like, how can I help? Who can I give to? Who's in need right now? Maybe one of your values, and yes, it can be a value, like maybe one of your values is entertainment or eating out. You know, one of ours is having people over for dinner, and we, you know, increase our budget a bit in that area to cover that. And so even though we're not doing all of the things right now, my guess is that you're probably thinking about those things right now. And so I'm going to start talking about budgeting, but what I'm going to say is let those thoughts kind of guide where you would be in your budget, because your values probably really are sticking out to you right now. And they may even be kind of that one thing like, this is what I'm going to do when things get back to normal, you know, whatever that means. But take that this opportunity when you're looking at your budget again to use those values as a guideline for where you're going to go. So here we go. Here's a few tips about budgeting now, budgeting beyond quarantine, budgeting if you haven't done it in a while or you need to restart it. Here are just three tips that that I've talked about over the years that I think are really going to be helpful when you're going on this budgeting journey, when you're starting this up right now. So I've actually written a brief article. I'll kind of link it in there that's got kind of these three bullet points on here, but here we go. Again, the most important thing you're going to remember is that you're going to keep your values at the forefront of your mind as you prepare your budget, because it's more than just the numbers. The math of this, it really isn't that difficult for most of us. Most of our situations, balancing the budget isn't going to be about the arithmetic, the math. We can get everything to add up. It's just that if your budget and your numbers and your line items don't align with your values that we've been talking about, you're just going to be frustrated. And reaching your goals is going to be a lot more difficult because you're going to end up fighting yourself along the way. So here we go. First step to writing or rewriting your budget right now is to take a look at your spending habits over the last few months. Okay, time out. I get it. During quarantine, this doesn't exactly work because your spending habits for almost all of us are at least somewhat different. I can tell you, we have spent almost nothing on gas, right? Since we have been in quarantine. In fact, I joked with Seth the other day, we've been living in the front yard, basically. The weather in Houston has been gorgeous during this time, so we're so incredibly thankful for that. But we're sitting in the front yard. We have our cars parked in the street, so the kids have like free rein of the driveway and the garage, you know, just open with bikes and scooters and the whole bit. And I looked at my car and I said, gee whiz, I kind of hope my car starts, you know, after all of this is said and done, because I haven't driven it in weeks. I haven't started it in weeks. And so we haven't spent money on gas or tolls or some of those things. And then obviously we've been spending probably like most people a lot more on groceries during this time. And so when you're writing and rewriting your budget, you probably won't necessarily be able to look at your spending during quarantine. You'll have to go back to the few months prior to quarantine and look at your overall spending and your habits during that time. And when you look at that and you start to look at those categories and where you spent your money, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, does my spending reflect my values? So you can say another way, does my spending reflect my values? Or you might say, or was I just not paying attention? You know, or was I being mindless, or was I spending out of convenience? And we've all done it. Okay, we've all done it. One of the examples, it never fails when I ask a client a couple to do this exercise, there's usually a category that stands out to them that they just cannot believe they spent that kind of money during that time frame. And I'm going to tell you, more times than not, it's eating out or it's food of some sort. Like there, it's like, how in the world did we spend $800 a month on restaurants? There's just three of us and the baby's nursing, you know? And it's like, okay, you know, slow your roll. Like you can recognize it and you look at it and you say, does this reflect what our value is? Like the answer might be, yes, we enjoy eating out. But when we're spending more than that, then we are on, I don't know, saving for retirement or rent or healthcare or something like that, then you might just reflect and say, yes, we enjoy it, but no, that actually doesn't reflect our value. We want to skew that differently. We want to make it look differently. But let me warn you on one end, that doesn't mean take it to zero. Like, okay, you know, hold the show. But this is crazy. We can't spend this much money on eating out. We're just not going to do it. I'm like, okay. Here's the situation. You're probably going to fail. And it's not about you. It's just about human nature. Like you're going to set yourself up for failure if you do that. You say, this doesn't reflect my values. This is not what I want to spend. We're not going to spend anything on it. It's like, okay. Well, restricting that category to nothing is probably not going to be helpful. One of the examples that I use in my own life is diet. Like if I don't really know a ton about it, except for what I've seen posted when it was like the crazy fat all the time, but like Whole30. I'm like, here's the deal. I'm never going to do Whole30. Like call me out right now. If you ever see me posting, but I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to do Whole30 because that's not going to work for me. Like completely cutting out all kinds of everything that they have on there that you can't have, sugar being one of them, I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. That's just not going to be my life. I know me better than that. Now, that doesn't give me permission for myself and for my own health not to eat a healthy diet, but I'm just saying, like, moderation, right? I'm going to have to find some sort of middle ground. Unless there's a real health issue I need to take care of, in which case, you know, and that's the thing. It's like in our normal circumstances, that's probably not going to work because I'm either A, going to fail the first day, or B, I'll make it through and then I'll binge the first day I'm off. And I don't know how much good that's going to do me. So anyway, it's kind of the same thing with this. You look at it, but you don't have to go to the extreme. You just look at those. You say, does this line up with my values? Is this actually what I want to do? And you answer those questions for yourself and then adjust appropriately. That's it. You know, you just adjust appropriately. So the first thing is to look at your previous spending, ask yourself, does it line up with your values? And then answer and adjust all of those categories accordingly. That's how you're going to start writing your budget. The next step is to find some tools that work for you, because a budget basically is just a blueprint for your money. It's just a plan. But just like building anything else from a plan, in order for the final product to be something functional that you're proud of, you need to actually follow the plans that you've already put down. In other words, in budget talk, you need to track what you've planned. So here's a couple of different analogies here. This is one I use all the time because I don't know, it's kind of gross and it's one of my favorites, but I have boys. I have two boys. And so if you're a parent who's ever potty trained boys, this is the example here. Think about that 3-year-old boy who you're potty training, who technically knows and understands the mechanics of using the toilet. Okay, he knows what to do, and you know that he knows what to do, but it's probably, at least in my house, and I'm betting in yours, it's still going to be a little while before you let that kid just go completely on his own. Just because you know the plan doesn't mean you don't need to follow up on the plan. Because when that kid is done, and especially at the beginning, like during the actual process, you need to make sure that the plan is being followed, that the procedure is being kept. So did the PP make it where it was aimed, right? You're asking that question. Did it get flushed? Did any of the strays get wiped away? Did the hands wash? You get the drill. Everybody knows the plan, but the follow-up of the plan is just as important, or else you're going to have a big mess. Okay, so that's a gross one. But what about on a larger scale? What if you're building that new house, or you're remodeling your kitchen, and the blueprints look amazing and beautiful, but your foreman is there to follow up and make sure that those plans get followed so that you get the functionality in the form that you've actually paid for? It's the same thing with your budget. You don't need anything fancy when I'm talking about tools. All you need is a way to plan and then a way to track what you've planned or to track what you've spent. This can be as basic as a pencil and a piece of paper, or as complicated and complex as a spreadsheet combined with a computer program. And so, by the way, if it's your jam, we have got a seriously nerdy spreadsheet on the website that I'll link in the notes to this, and you can just go to town. You can have fun. All the formulas are in there. It's Excel. It's beautiful and nerdy and crazy, but you can be as complicated as you want or as basic as you want. I honestly feel like the middle ground these days are these budgeting apps. And there are so many out there. If you want my recommendation, I can throw it in there. But in general, my feeling on them, they're great. We use one, and we've used one for a couple of years, and we kind of switched from one we didn't like as well to one we like better. But my recommendation on these is you want one that's smart, but not too smart. And what I mean by that is when I start mentioning budgeting apps that help you track your spending, I have a lot of people tell me, oh yeah, my bank does that. Like all you have to do is click on this and it has a little, you know, pie chart and it automatically categorizes my spending. I'm like, okay, I get that. And I've seen those, but that's not actually a budgeting tool. It's slightly better than like a generic pie chart, and it's there because they want you to see where you're spending your money. And when I say where, I mean primarily like the locations. Is it a gas station? Is it a grocery store? Is it a utility company? Or, you know, maybe how much you put in your savings account. But those types of things generally claim to be smarter than they actually are. And so what I'm saying is you need a tool or an app that's smart, but not too smart. And what I mean is you need something that you categorize and move the money yourself. And there's two reasons for that. One is so that you know that it gets put in the right places in the budget. So just because you go to Target, it may categorize that as miscellaneous spending or grocery, but we all know that when you go to Target, it's probably a variety of places, a variety of categories, and you need to know that it's getting put in the right places. And the second reason is that you need to be aware, almost on a real-time basis, of how much you're spending in each category so you can effectively plan for your immediate future, right? So like if it's, you know, the middle of the month and you've spent 3/4 of your grocery money, then you probably need to be aware of that. And you may be eating spaghetti for the last week, and that's okay, but it will keep you from overspending and it helps you manage it a lot better. So again, there are a ton of these tools out there, these budgeting apps. I have some of my favorites. Again, I'll put links in there. But the most important thing on any of these tools is for you to find one or a combination of ones that you will actually use, first of all, and that work for you, that you can kind of mold and make them your own so they work for you. And finally, number 3, be patient. Be patient with yourself and be patient with the process. Because given like a completely neutral situation with no major life changes, reworking or working your budget is probably going to take a few months, probably about 3 months actually, before you're satisfied and you feel successful, like everything is working the way you want it to. But that's not everyone's situation, and it's certainly not likely that it's your situation right now. And on top of that, situations change, but also our values change. We grow with what we know. And so give yourself some grace there as well. That may not be your personality, honestly. It's not mine. And I kind of want to say, like, you've got to do it right, and you've got to do it all, and you've got to do it right now, or just don't do it at all. But I don't want that to apply to your budgeting, because really, especially when you're starting, something really can be better than nothing, because at least you're thinking about it and at least you're trying to be intentional. And so as things start to feel more normal and less overwhelming and you get freed up emotionally, then you can do more. And as you learn more about yourself and your household and your family and what matters to you, then you can make plans to spend your money accordingly in ways that make more sense. So I encourage you, be patient, give yourself grace, have grace with the process, and don't give up. So that's pretty much it. First, look at your prior spending, kind of 3, quote, normal months if you can, and look at your spending habits and ask them, do they line up with your values? And then start your categories from there. Second, find some tools to plan and track your budget that work well for you, that you can adjust to your needs, and that you'll actually use. And 3, just be patient. It's probably going to take a few months, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, and it doesn't have to be all right and right now. And by all means, if you need help, or if you want help, or if you just have some questions, I am totally here. Give me a call, give me like a DM on social media. I'll put my email address in the notes for this episode, and we can get together and talk. One last tool I want to mention, one last resource, is that I'll link the workbook that Seth and I wrote together a few years ago called Entrusted with Money. And that will actually walk you through the first 90 days of not just budgeting, but beginning to build a healthier relationship with your money. And I have used this with groups for a few years now. I've used it individually with clients, and it has been a game changer for so many of them. So, yeah. So I think that's it. So whether today feels like New Year's Day or Groundhog's Day, I just encourage you in all of this to enjoy where you are, take it day by day, try out some new things, including budgeting, if that's it for you, rework some of the old things, and that last budgeting tip applies for all of us through all of this. Be patient and give yourself grace and have grace for others. Talk soon. So thank you again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Share the link with your friends. You can visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com. And until next time, this is Alexis Busetti, remembering to do well for ourselves so we can do good for others. Bye.